Lea Fionga Ia Maluseu Doris Tulifau is the founder of Brown Girl Woke, a not-for-profit set up to help young Pacific Island women address sexual and physical abuse in their communities. Doris Tulifau has also trained Samoan girls about human rights in order for them to return to their villages and speak with other young girls in order to find ways to tackle tough issues such as domestic violence, sexual abuse, alcohol abuse as well. Doris has also created a clothing line to help raise awareness and encourage Pacific Islander girls to stay woke. Doris has been instrumental in advocating for those who are most vulnerable and often silenced due to age and status. Poetry slams, spoken word performances, and dance have all been useful mediums to encourage youth to address their experiences and understanding of violence, sexual abuse, and substance abuse in safe environments. Doris is also pursuing her PhD in anthropology. She is on the line with us, Talofa Labalawfionga Maluseu, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Etienne. I'm honored. I've always followed 531. I followed when you first got on, so I'm super excited to talk to you this morning.
So firstly, Doris, could you tell us, how did you get into this space? What made you start Brown Girl Woke? Could you tell us your story and your journey that led you to the formation of Brown Girl Woke?
Okay, so it started, I was, you know, a minority already, you know, living in America. I'm from San Francisco, California. And I used to, when I went to university, there was not enough Pacific Islanders there. So I used to always do work on promoting higher education for Pacific Islanders in California. As I was doing my work, other organizations were asking about Pacific Islander communities on domestic violence and sexual abuse. And we didn't have anyone to speak on those matters. And for myself, it was an eye-opener because I was a victim of both, and I never even thought of sharing my own story. I just kept on promoting about pursuing higher education for Pacific Islanders and never went on my own truth and my path. So when that happened, I started speaking in shelters in closed areas because it felt safer for me. And then when I realized that there was too many of us that had the same stories, I had to be accountable for our community and speak up. So around 2012, 2013, I started Brown Girl Woke, and I started going into the university settings because I started in university and started looking for young girls that wanted to be a part of this movement to speak up, and not only for Pacific Islanders, but for all brown girls. So that's why I called Brown Girl Woke, because I wanted to make sure that, you know, Mexican girls, black girls, like every girl that was colored with color understood they could be part of my movement. Woke at the time was a trending word. So if you don't know what woke means, it's somebody that is aware of what's happening in the world. And that's just something that I felt like a lot of us Pacific Islanders, when we get to America or we migrate to other countries, we still sit and only into our Samoan community, but don't learn the laws of the lands that we stay in. So I wanted that to be like a shirt or a sweater for girls to wear and tell people, like, I know what's going on, and I could fight if we're so silent and we can't speak up. So the clothing line was something that could speak for girls that were silent, that couldn't speak for themselves.
So when did you make the decision to go to Samoa? But perhaps before then, so even as you were growing up in California, you were aware that the issue of sexual abuse and violence is not something that is unique to our island. It is also happening to our communities throughout the world. Would that be correct?
Yes. And as I was doing my work from 2012 to 2016, I wanted to make, because our stories were so similar. I mean, not only for just the Pacific Islander community, but all communities. But for me, being Samoan, and a lot of girls felt more safer speaking, telling their stories to me, I wanted to know what I could do more. And a lot of the stories will go back to being silent from our culture and our tradition. So I moved to Samoa to research more, because I felt that I need to find a way to make it more understanding for our communities to start speaking, especially our parents, or even, you know, being a very religious community, to speak to our churches. So I moved over here to Samoa to do research. I thought I could be here for 3 months. and it was going to be easy and I would find all the answers, but it wasn't. I've been here almost 3 years now. And as I'm here for 3 years, I started after-school programs and programs in the universities to speak about domestic violence and sexual abuse.
This is a really tough topic to talk about. It is one that our community, not just our community, to be fair, it is a problem that all communities find really difficult to talk about. But the difficulty in talking about it then becomes part of the problem, because everything is just swept under the carpet. Let's not talk about it. Let's whisper about it behind each other's backs. And therefore, we can't address an issue that we can't name, that we can't tag, don't you think, Doris?
And I think that's one of the biggest things, is that if we don't speak about them, how do we know what's wrong or right? And that still happens here in Samoa, unfortunately. If something happens to a young girl and she doesn't know if it's wrong, then they'll just keep on going and going until we start speaking up. And, you know, being here so long, I've learned. When I first moved here in Samoa, I was thinking, I'm just going to go in and just guns blazing and start talking about this subject, which shut a lot of doors on me. And I should have came, now that I know that I'm here for 3 years, that I need to start very slowly here in Samoa. And that's why I've been here for so long, because I knew that I had to get everyone's trust and then start training the girls here in Samoa, and boys, on how do we speak about these things. And that's where performance arts happen. We have spoken word, poetry slams, songs that make it a little bit easier for kids to speak up about what's happening with them. But at this point, living here for this long, it's something that we can start with them, using their voices and harnessing their voices to speak up.
Speaking up, it's not hard, it's not easy. But what I've found is that once I started telling my truth, others were able to start shouting theirs. And there's something quite empowering about telling your truth, because it literally does free others up. Is that what you found when you first started talking and telling your own story? Were you initially a bit reluctant, a bit shamed? And that is part of the difficulty that we're having with this issue.
Yes, and I felt like I was every other girl's story. You know, I went to university. I did everything that you're supposed to do, like a young Samoan girl is supposed to do. My people would have never thought, because of the family that I came from, that something happened to me. I still deal with it now, family members not understanding, how could this happen to me? You lived in a middle-class home. You did everything you're supposed to. How did we, you know, slip up? And it's that type of thing of blaming everything else, but not the perpetrator, that I have to deal with daily here in Samoa as well. Is people really need to feel safe, because they don't want to think that if it happened to me and I come from a good home or whatever, how is this supposed to, it might happen to them. And then we start blaming things that have to do with nothing about what the perpetrator did to the victim. And that's why I tell my story, because if I didn't start talking about it, I would have never known all these triggers I had. I would never have been free for myself as well. And I would never have been healed, because as I was sexually abused as a child, I used to find myself in relationships that were always horrible and violent. And I never, ever healed from it until the time I started telling my truth. And I figured out I had to go seek help. and help myself to help others.
Samoa is a totally different kettle of fish. Within the village structure, things are so structured. There is the whono ole matai, and then there are the matai, and you know, within that, everybody has their place. And the child is right. And the child is right at the bottom of that structure. They become important on White Sunday. Otherwise, they are to be seen and not heard. So the work that you do is really important, because one of the things that victims of any form of abuse tend to do is that they tend to blame themselves. And the last thing we as a community need to do is to start pointing fingers at these children. And often we grow up, and as you've already mentioned, we act out things as adults, and we do things to try and dull that pain by perhaps drinking, getting into drugs, without really knowing that the formative years and the abuse that many of us suffer in those formative years is at the core of the anger that we carry and the shame that we carry, which is why your work to me is important.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I try to do is, because I work in the rural areas, to make safe spaces, to find those families that don't mind to have our programs at their houses, and that can, and train them up to know that if anything's happening with the kids, they could go there. You know, you talk about the structure in the villages. We know that, you know, we have renewals and all these things, but sometimes, unfortunately, in Samoa, politics and everything else, the child is left behind, comparative to the notion that it takes a village to raise a child. So it's been great for me working here in Samoa and going into the villages and kids know who I am and these those states, and making sure that we can start building something that this doesn't happen anymore. And it's crazy because we know that it's almost 90% at the home or in the village. People know who their perpetrator is. Yet we're still not doing enough programs that help families understand their roles, and especially with men programs here in Samoa. So just praying on a lot of things here that we keep doing more work, and especially doing work with men.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. And the whole thing of blaming young girls for things that happen to them. There's been a lot of discussion about that on social media. Would love your views on that, please, Doris.
I think it just makes people understand how far back we are to have people at certain platforms that can change the narrative of what's happening with victim blaming. And it also shows how their privileges comparative. I know there's a lot of discussion right now with, you know, what's happening with victim blaming, and it just reminds me of, now we're just going to keep on shutting the door for that young girl that wants to say something, and now she's going to blame herself more, especially when it comes from someone that is superior in our country. It's going to make more families blame everybody, the victim, more than the perpetrator. So I think now I feel like as I see more comments, that you just understand where we're at. Because right now I've been seeing comments and it's 50-50. It's not, I can't even believe that it's 50-50. And even looking at the age groups that believe in victim blaming, when I see 21-year-olds and 22-year-olds, I'm just wondering, like, are we really need to change our mentality here in Samoa if we even have the young ones thinking that victim blaming is true?
And the other narrative that seems to be coming through is that it's what the young girls are wearing that makes men do what they do. The research and the data does not back that up at all. Could you enlighten us on that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, 90% of victims, they know they're the perpetrator. And it's usually at home, it's usually at the village, especially here in Samoa when a lot of the cases are very young girls. I mean, I seen another article that was talking about the last victims here in Samoa. They were 7 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old. And for somebody in the power to speak up about these things, they have to do their research or just stick to what they know and not talk about things that's going to put it back. But I think a lot of people here in Samoa should know. I mean, we have cases on the newspaper all the time, and it's old little girls. So the race culture here needs to be talked about way more if we're not, if we really believe that it has to do with girls wearing clothes for men to think that they have consent over them.
Doris Tulifau Brown, Girl Woke founder, thank you so much for your time and thank you so much for your work.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me the time.